Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. Oh my gosh, am I so excited for today? I'm excited for every day, but this day is a good day because we've got one of my soul brothers on the show, and we're going to get into that in just one second. But if you are not new to the show, welcome back. If you're new, welcome here. I'm so happy to have you. I am your host, Jess, and I just want to remind you that if this show has impacted your life in any way, I would so appreciate it if you took just a couple seconds, left us 5 stars on Apple, a couple sentences. It really does help the show grow. And if you've been here for a minute and you haven't left a review, you already know how this show changes lives. And it just would mean the world to this community and me and my team and all of the incredible guests that have come through this space pour into all of you. It would be so beautiful in reciprocity. Leave a tiny little review. And if you haven't yet subscribed, go ahead and do that now wherever you get your podcasts. And share this podcast. I have a feeling that after today's podcast, you're definitely going to want to share this one. Oh me, oh my. You guys, Craig Siegel is on the podcast. Okay. He's a Wall Street Journal and USA Today best-selling author of his book, The Reinvention Formula. He's a global keynote speaker. He's a coach. He's a teacher. He's an investor. He's an advisor. He's a TEDx speaker and host of the CLS Experience, which is one of the 0.05% top podcasts in the world. Okay. He is an 8-time marathoner. He's got an amazing freaking story. And actually, of all of the things about Craig that I love most about him has actually nothing to do with his accolades and has everything to do with his soul. He is, you know, when I met Craig for the first time, I've been on his podcast a bunch. This is his second time on mine. I love him so much that I invited him back. Like, that's how amazing he is. I saw this hustler, the spiritual hustler, this guy that's just killing the game and so good at branding, so good at business, so good at networking, so good at visibility, so good at strategy and marketing. I mean, the guy has codes, you guys, on codes, but we're not going to go there today. We'll talk a little bit about his business, but he is one of the few men that I have met in my life that is as consciously connected to his feminine heart. Call it what you will, divine feminine, divine masculine. It exists within all of us in a sacred union. And his spiritual practice and the way that he sees the world and the way that he walks in devotion is something to take notes on, you guys. It is truly, I know his secret to success, to fulfillment, to a beautiful, loving marriage, to a thriving community, to some of the biggest relationships with the biggest people in the space. He architected that from zero. I mean, he was a Wall Street trader. He didn't ever live in the world of personal branding, spiritual development, business growth. Now he's living his dharma because he got clear on his soul's purpose. And in the last few years, Craig has gone even deeper into the work of Kabbalah. And we're going to talk a lot about Kabbalah today. And it's not a religious practice, it's a spiritual practice. And Craig really breaks it down so practically, but also so powerfully. I've been waiting to drop this episode, you guys. He is one of my dearest friends, a soul brother. I've known Craig in past lives for sure. And getting to be with him in my studio live in Nashville, make sure you go check it out on YouTube if you want to, you know, see the connection and see the frequencies on screen. We're also over there. Really is a gift. It's a gift today. Don't take it for granted. Listen to the whole episode. Everything we share is gold. To honestly toss my questions out the window and we just flowed. It's my favorite kind of conversation. And just know that playing small is canceled. according to Craig. And you can really truly step into your Dharma and trust yourself and your path, push yourself to be yourself out loud in front of the world in your own way. And when you do, miracles happen. Because as Craig explains today, we live in a field of infinite possibilities. In fact, that's the real reality, infinite nature of all of our potential. And most of us, not us here listening on the Spiritual Hustler podcast, because you guys are awake and remembered, but most of us are living in the 1% of reality. So this conversation is a step inside of the portal of the 99% of reality. And I promise you, if you really listen with your heart, you're not going to be the same afterwards. I wasn't. And so without further ado, here is my incredible conversation with my incredibly, incredibly special friend, Craig Siegel. I can't believe you're here with me, Craig. I feel it's like surreal to be in your presence because I love you so much and I feel so connected to you from afar, and to have you in person here is such a gift. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I feel the same. And whenever we get together in person, it's a different energy.
Totally. Yeah. We like pop off. We like go to the stars together.
I know.
Time dissipates.
The only problem is it's never enough time.
Absolutely. It's never enough time. So I'm going to relish this.
Let's do this.
And I know my community is too, because you're amazing. Yeah. You know that like you're one of like 4 or 5 men that's been on this podcast?
Ever?
Like in the last year and a half. Yeah.
What an honor.
You represent to me like sacred masculinity, conscious masculinity. And your story is so rooted in consciousness and the spiritual conversation that I love to have. And we need more men like you in the world that are leading from love and their hearts. So
I agree. But thank you for saying
it's
that.
It's true. thank you for leading the way.
Yeah.
So I have many questions for you, but I'm going to start with my first question that I ask everyone,
Okay. Which
is, what are you spiritually hustling for right now, Craig?
I feel like there's a couple of different realities that we could participate in. Two different gods for me.
Yeah.
One is creator, which we're all connected to. And then the other is the god of the physical world. Goes to Tan, the opponent, tries to make us think that there's limitations, or we're a product of circumstance, or we have fear, doubt, unsure, insecurities. And so all of us having a human experience have to deal with that and navigate it. And so something I'm working on, because Rosh Hashanah just passed.
Yes, it did. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Likewise. Shana Tova. And just to be clear for your audience, I think there's a misconception that you have to be Jewish to connect that. You absolutely don't. There's a spiritual component that we can extract. And the idea is to create a new vessel right now, to get rid of all the fears of last year and to create something new for the upcoming year. Not a Jewish thing. It's just a spiritual thing. And so for me, whenever I experience doubt, I want to replace that with certainty, which is a co-creation with greater. Because if you're worrying about things, then you're basically saying, greater, let me handle this, right? So let him worry about it and you just do your thing. Every time we worry about it, we're subscribing to the other god of the physical world, which is an illusion.
Yes, it is.
So I'm spiritually hustling for more certainty right now.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you for that code. So I know that many people know you, and what you're up to in the world is so powerful and so impactful, but not everybody might know your story and how you got here. And I think it's so inspiring to me all the time, Craig, to like see the man that you are today and really recognize how far you've come and how you have like truly reinvented yourself and taken that and changed all the lives that you've had. This was never really on the bingo card for you.
No, was it?
So can you take us back to the Craig that was working on Wall Street and what that experience was like? What led you to transition? Yeah, I just think it's so inspiring and important for people to anchor, because we're going to get into the codes, and I want to talk about Kabbalah and all. Like, there's so many questions I have for you around this spiritual conversation and your business. Like, you're a fierce entrepreneur. This wasn't your life for most of your life.
Yeah.
Take us back a little bit.
So I think, like many of us, I was a gladiator in the wrong arena, meaning I followed a path that I thought I was supposed to do.
Right.
Definitely connected to the ego consciousness. After college, I wasn't someone that always knew what I wanted to do. So I ended up on Wall Street. I was ambitious and I was kind of infatuated with stocks. Seemed like a good place to kind of stick my flag in the ground. But just a quick nugget, when I got to Wall Street, interestingly enough, that's also when I discovered personal development. I didn't really know, like, you can actually develop yourself mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and become a different person. So my parents are the best ever. They're adorable. But they weren't like you know, injecting in me from a small child, like, hey, you could be anything you want in this world, or think bigger, or, you know, there are no limitations. You know what I didn't know. So when I figured out personal development, I was blown away, but I just utilized it to become, quote unquote, successful in what I was up to, which at the time was Wall Street and relationships and stuff like that, eventually marathons and so forth. So I spent 13 years on Wall Street. I was doing the stock thing for a while, and I ended up ascending to the top of my company as a broker, like a rookie, right out the gates. I was so disciplined. I was so hungry, and I was making a lot of money. And ultimately that energy was no longer aligned. So I left and started my own company, basically giving capital to businesses all across the country that needed a little bit higher interest and so forth. Very lucrative business, but soul contracting.
Yeah.
Right. And so eventually, I mean, how long can you do something that's misaligned before you really start to burn out? I wasn't growing upwards. I was growing sideways. I was trying to hold it all together. I had leaks. I had cracks. And I guess you could say my personal life began to unravel right before the pandemic. I would say probably 2018. I was navigating getting out of a toxic relationship, which we all know is a blessing in disguise.
Always.
But when you're going through it, it's kind of crappy.
Yeah. It's brutal.
So between that and my dad had just gotten diagnosed with cancer, still battling. He's no spring chicken, but when it happened, it felt like it was seemingly unexpectedly out of the blue. So I'm hit with that mortality of my pops. And then ultimately I was waking up every day going to a job that I had no connection with, just the worst. Like I was basically dying, even though I was quote unquote alive. Was I alive? That's debatable. And so I was drinking. I think I was just trying to numb that current reality. I knew deep down that there was something more, but I was having trouble finding the space to even consider what that could be. And so for some reason, I signed up for the New York City Marathon in 2018, which was a huge stretch for me at the time.
That was your first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Never been a runner, nothing. I think I ran like 3 miles, like, let's do this. And so, but during that process, I started to develop myself. I started to become a better soul. I wasn't drinking when I shouldn't have been. I was being a little bit more disciplined. I was eating better. And I was just excited about the possibility of really creating an environment to get uncomfortable, because I didn't grow up with a ton of trauma, being honest. And a lot of people have these wild stories. God bless. Growing up was fairly normal. So I created this environment to get really uncomfortable. And the marathon really began to expand me. And so I conquered that. And then basically the pandemic happened pretty quick. And I was just like, the world is staying still right now. How can I take advantage of this? Mm. And that's when I really connected. For me, that's creator. And I just said, what else is possible? Why are we really here? And I started getting these downloads. And I was like, wait a minute, personal development. I'm obsessed with that. I could talk. I can communicate pretty effectively. Yeah. And then I started getting more ideas. They started coming through. And I figured out a way to kind of bring my weird version of personal development to the world. At this time, I think it's good to let your community know, I had no following. No fancy credentials. I had no budget for marketing at the time, but I had two things. I had conviction and I had clarity on my messaging.
Mm.
And so I went all in. I didn't dabble and it began to explode. And I just want to make one more note. I did this while I was still at Wall Street before CLS had proof of concept. So I made that leap before I had quote unquote.
So you quit all together to go all in.
I started getting the ideas.
Yeah.
And I was like, the only thing scarier than this would be to not try it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I could always go back. I could do something else. It's not going to happen. For me personally, I'm the type of guy that I have to be energetically fully invested. I can't dilute my focus. To me, it's like having an open relationship. Like totally. Someone's going to lose focus. So I went all in, and I guess you could say the rest is history.
The rest is history. That history has evolved. So let's actually go back to that moment, because I mean, I came across you probably in 21 and you had like Mark Cuban on your podcast. You had like 130,000, like you had like a platform that happened so fast. Yeah. And I coach so many women, and the women that are listening, like they want a lot of different things, but they look at people like you and I and think that that's so far away. And I know that you really, I mean, obviously you just said it, like you doubled down on focus, you went all in, you got into alignment. But I know that you have really been super on the spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And so if we can just kind of reverse engineer, like tactically as well as mindset wise, what really architected that early growth for you? Because you had like a hockey stick, dude. Like it went from like 0 to 60.
Thank you.
And a lot of people aspire for that and they don't know how to crack the code on that.
Yeah. Well, I created a framework
okay.
on a tactical level when I was building. I called it AIM. So authority, influence, and magnetism. Different ways to kind of position yourself. So like when I didn't have a following, by doing this, I was able to position myself next to billionaires and icons, get all these people on the podcast with no following.
Can we just talk about how you did that? Like did you reach out to Mark Cuban cold? Or did you know somebody who knew him?
No, like, so we started getting some good guests.
Okay.
And then we had the leverage.
Yep.
And then the team reached out.
Cool. Yeah. So it was just like you did it. You tried. You started like low hanging fruit and you did what every entrepreneur does in any arena, which is to leverage what they've got. For more.
I think a lot of people don't position themselves accordingly. And when you don't do that, the market will position you and you're not going to like it. So you have to be intentional and relentless about that. And so also conviction. So many people are out there waiting for validation. Once I get this, then I'll feel like I'm ready. Couldn't be farther from the truth. First, you activate your conviction and then everything begins to show up. And that's a spiritual thing.
Right? Amen.
Because that's just you knowing. Not that you're the best in the world just yet, but that what you have to share is valuable. If someone listening can't connect with that, then you're not there yet. Right. So what would it take for you to activate more conviction in your life? And that's an energy. It's attractive.
1,000,000%. I often say like, you know, I have a school right now. I coach clients. I've been in this world of helping people with their personal brands, right? And it's evolved, but it's such an inside job. Like the external platform, the public image,
consciousness.
It's a consciousness, it's a mindset, it's a self-belief. And I love, like I often use the term like fake it until you make it. Some people don't subscribe to that. I do, it's kind of the story of my life. But you like name it with that word conviction and tie it to a spiritual thread, which I love. And look at all that's manifested from just that place.
I love it. And I understand why some people don't like fake it till you make it, just because the word fake is triggering.
Right.
But something that reminds me of that I love is this idea of embodiment.
Uh-huh.
Right. So you get this idea of an alternative version of you in a perfected reality. What does that version look like? Mm-hmm. And now from this standpoint, how can you embody that?
Mm-hmm.
So is that faking it? I don't think so. It's kind of just modeling the next little version that already exists.
100%. It's like going to the gym. Like you don't lift a weight once and become strong. Like you go every day and you build up the confidence and the strength and the fibers until you are strong. Someone I saw on Instagram recently, like, I don't fake it till I make it. I faithed it until I made it.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what I'm talking about. Yeah. Same difference.
Just embodiment.
I love that word.
Yeah.
Speaking of faith, your work has really evolved. And the last time I saw you, and like we share the Jewish DNA, which is special.
Yeah.
But Amen. It really is.
Baruch Hashem. It means thank God for anyone that's listening.
Yeah, no, thank you. Totally. Like in our connection with Kismet.
Yeah.
And I really believe, I mean, not that this is going to be a podcast about Judaism, but it is the faith of light. And we're light workers, as we've discussed. And I think everyone listening they wouldn't be listening to my show if they weren't.
Right.
And you have really evolved your work from like personal development, business coaching, mindset into Kabbalah. Like you've really incorporated that. And last time I saw you, like, I don't claim to be a Kabbalah expert, but it's like a cornerstone now to not just your work, but your life.
Yeah.
And can you share with me, because I don't know how and when this came online for you so deeply.
Yeah.
And how you attune to it for yourself.
Since we had that conversation, I started mentoring at the center, Kabbalah Center. So now that's a different energy too. So by no means am I an expert, because my teachers are light years ahead of me, but I know a thing or two. And so throughout the years, like I said earlier, when I started studying personal development, I was more of like a spiritual shopper.
Yeah.
Like I'd go to one thing, maybe it was a book on NLP, law of attraction, psychology. I'd pick up a Kabbalah book and it just did something to me. It activated something, but then I would just be onto something else. And then 2.5 years ago, I'll never forget, they were doing something at the center I'd never been. Every month they do what's called a new moon. They talk about the energy of the month and they do like an hour workshop.
It's so coded. It's so spiritual. Awesome. It's Kabbalah is amazing.
And so they happen to be doing the new moon of Taurus, which is my birthday. And I don't know how I ended up there to this day, but I went and I took this class and the teacher was just a nutshell. I was a lunatic. Love him so much. My teacher to this day. He actually married my wife and I in a private ceremony. Oh. We're best friends. But I was so attracted to him because he was nuts. his Israeli accent. But also what he was saying, he was an awesome transmitter, one of the most prolific teachers in the world. And what he was saying was bypassing my ears and it was hitting me in the soul. I was like, this is different. And they're like, oh, we're doing Kabbalah 1 starting next week. So I was hooked. Mm. So I signed up.
Wow.
And then Kabbalah 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Tree of Life, Reincarnation. And then they asked me to be a mentor. So now I mentor the students there. And it's just the most dynamic technology I've ever experienced in my life. Basically what it is, we're going to say.
Continue. I just love that you use the word technology.
Because I think there's a misconception. People think it's a religious thing. It's not. And I know there's a lot of ties to Jewish because it's Jewish mysticism. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you could be any background and subscribe to it. In fact, whatever it is that you already are, Christian, Buddhist, whatever, it will help you create even a stronger connection with that. And so if I can articulate and make it accessible for everybody, there are universal laws. Just like if I jumped out your window, you know, if I'm amazing, I'm still going down. That just can't be denied. Gravity. So science, quantum physics, this ancient wisdom of Kabbalah gives you a practical framework to be able to tap into those laws all the time. And so you're not playing upon the physical reality's rules anymore. You're tapped into something bigger. And from that, there is no limitation. And so you can apply that to your life, inject it into your business, your relationships, and just totally expand your capacity on what you can receive in this life.
Let's go. Can we get into Kabbalah? Can we click into it?
Is there anything else?
I know, right? I wanted to talk to you about this so badly. Yeah. No, I just, life is life. And I've been so called to it. And I know it's in the cards for me as I go down my own evolution. Yes. But these universal laws, can we start there? Can you explain a few and how you work with them, how people listening can apply them?
Yeah. So even something, it's funny because now that I think about this stuff, to me, it's practical because there's no other way.
Right.
But for people, it might sound a little out there. No problem.
This is a very warmed up audience to the out there.
Yeah, I'm sure. I would encourage everybody to just lean in for a moment.
Right.
So when something happens in your life that could be categorized as chaotic or stressful, how you respond matters. Most people, they respond to chaos with worry, fear, doubt. And as a result, they continue down that rabbit hole. But every time something happens in your world, it's an opportunity to actually restrict that and not react. And the whole thing is to about, most people are walking around like Walking Dead, like living in the Matrix. They're very reactive. They're robotic to their routine, to everything. And so to not be reactive and how you respond, meaning, can you just pause, right? Can you not get caught up into the rabbit hole of chaos? And from that, all of a sudden the seas begin to part and a blessing comes your way. And it might not be on the spot. It might be 3 days later. I remember very specifically, I was tested. Well, tested every day. All of us are. But now that people listening are aware of that, the next time something happens, whether it's a traffic jam or, I don't know, the waiter brings over the wrong food, just utilize it as an opportunity to not be reactive and just pause and then proactively choose your response. And from that, something mystical will happen. Some people we might've lost already, but the people that are willing to try it are going to experience a different reality. So recently I was at the dinner, like a VIP dinner, and I left and I got in a taxi, New York City. And where I live, it's a little tricky because there's a Midtown tunnel. And that'll take you to Long Island, but like you have to stay to the right to continue to where I live. And so I think I was on my phone checking email and the taxi driver started going to the left to take me to Long Island. I was a block away from my home.
Yikes.
I was like, my man, where are you going? And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, pull over. And he was too late. So we go through the Midtown Tunnel and now I'm, you know, 15 minutes out of the way in the wrong direction, going to see my parents, probably 10:30 at night on a Tuesday. I just want to get some rest. And I'm like, all right, there's nothing I can do at this moment. You just time out. Let me just exercise a little bit of compassion. The guy didn't speak much English. When I got in the car, he asked me to type my address in Waze, which I knew was a red flag, which is why I should have been paying more attention, but whatever. So hey, the old Craig would have been so frustrated, so angry. Like, why is this happening? Victim consciousness, victim mentality. So I just said, all right, let me help you get back. So we got off an exit. We got back on, went back home. No problem. Maybe I lost 30 minutes. Not a big deal. I remember thinking, I'm kind of happy how I handled that poor guy. Like, sounded like what he wanted to do. So I got home. The very next morning, I woke up and a huge deal that we were working on for a while that like we lost contact with closed out of nowhere. And I was just thinking, wow, the two things have to be connected because how I respond matters. And that opens up the channel for a major blessing, a miracle in my life. Like I said, it might not be in the spot. It might be something totally different. But this gives you access to that whole other reality. So it's a weird example, but I thought it was
a brilliant example. So would that be a universal law of something?
Yeah. So, I mean, just how you respond.
Responding. Right?
Being proactive, not reactive.
Reactive.
Most people that you know are just robotic and being reactive.
Totally. Most people are in the matrix, but then they come and listen to our kinds of shows and wake up.
They wake up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And remember what you're talking about in so many terms is also one of my favorite words, which is sovereignty, like personal agency that we forget we have sight of, that we surrender unconsciously to stress, to our parents, to the market, to the algorithm. Like we forget how much in control we actually are of our own power, authority,
free will,
mindset, free will. Everything begins with the mind to channel into, you know, what you're talking about, this higher source, which is ever available to us and how we choose to connect with it. So that is, I actually love that example. I think that is so applicable in real life to everyone listening. What's another universal law that you play with? And so, Kabbalah is so vast.
Yeah. This idea of certainty, which I mentioned earlier, which is what I'm spiritually hustling right now. The idea is to always inject certainty into everything that you're doing. So the best time to use it, some people might call it faith, but you can only really flex that muscle when you can't exactly see how things are going to unfold, right? So let's just say you're a badass entrepreneur and maybe it's time to evolve the brand and who you want to call, and maybe it's a different caliber of a person, right? So that means that the person that you were serving is probably no longer in alignment, right? So a good test might be, all of a sudden, a client-ish, like from your past comes, they want to give you money and work with you. And you're like, wait a minute, I just claimed my position, right? I just said with certainty, no, we're going to start catering to these people right now, even if we can't see it just yet. And so are you willing to say no to that person? Let me refer you to somebody else, because you have certainty that the right person is going to come through as you continue on that path. And as you do that, all of a sudden, the universe conspires and sends you someone that's more aligned to you. But most people in that position would just succumb. It's, oh, it's income. It's right there. I don't want to leave it on the table. Let me take it, right? Because they don't have certainty. That's a consciousness of lack. Because if you think you need that money because it's not everywhere, then that's lack.
Yes. Right?
So this idea to always inject certainty, and certainty is really just stronger connection with Creator.
Yes. Can I give an example of that?
Please.
Something that I just worked on. Yeah. So I just did a big launch last month for my school.
Hell yeah.
And it was amazing, but it was what I would call like our learning launch. We had like launch 1, 2, they were like flying high, felt really not easy, but like good vibes aligned in the ascension upward direction the whole time. And we had a big ambitious goal. And I knew like a couple days into like open cart, we weren't going to hit this goal. And I started spiraling and I was like really like in it. And I've been so on the path of transmuting and alchemizing former habits and tendencies and selves. And it almost felt like the former Jessica like showed up and she was like right here on my right shoulder. And she was like, hi, I'm back. And I was like, I thought I alchemized you and you're gone, but she was not. And I sat with that. I brought awareness to it and I was like, and offered compassion to that part of myself. And then I really started tuning into the frequency of the women that were going to sign up no matter what, regardless of the number. Like I had to totally check my ego and be like, what does the number matter to you? Like, well, why the number? Like who fucking told you that was success?
Right.
And I got so certain that the women that were going to come in and were coming in were the best and most aligned women for the
perfect
program.
Match. Yeah.
And I just tuned into them and to the gift it was to serve them, because I certainly knew, I was certain that I was going to serve a cohort, right? They were already coming in. It was just slower than we thought it would be. And as soon as I shifted my frequency around that and my energy around that, like the leaderboard started going up.
Of course.
And we landed in a place that I couldn't have dreamed of. It was like the perfect number. Does that make sense?
Makes all the sense. And that's beyond logic, right? Because based upon where you were, you started to get a little stressed out and then you shifted your energy and then all of a sudden, huge injection of more.
Yes.
So some people might not say that's logical. That's actually the whole point of Kabbalah. It's certainty beyond logic, because that's how you actually flex the faith.
Yeah.
If you know something's coming, then how is it impressive to exercise certainty? right? That's not really, it's not like extracting.
Totally,
So you actually need to be able to not see it, to flex that, and then you allow the miracles to come, which just happened with you.
Exactly, miracles. And it's, can we talk about like the quantum?
Yeah.
Because like, you know, I've studied a lot of different faiths myself and have made it my own. You know, I was born and raised Jewish as you were. And as I got older, I'm like, I'm more spiritual than I am religious.
Yeah.
Same. And I really feel like there's, we use the term God. Some people call it, you know, creator, goddess, the universe, Jesus, whatever you want to call.
Hanukkah Harry.
What'd you say?
Hanukkah Harry.
Right. Exactly. Santa Claus. There's so many different like monikers, you know, and like definitions. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to know how I see it, Craig, and I want to crack into how you see it, like, and I think Kabbalah, as like little as I know about it, I feel like what I have read about it, it's like beyond the beyond.
Yeah.
Like there's a quantum intelligence.
Yeah.
Like I find it to be kind of galactic, like beyond this earthly plane, and to really tangibly connect to what the universe is, which is infinite, which means we're infinite, which is like what we can create and how much joy and abundance we can experience is also infinite.
Yeah.
And can you just walk me through what you sort of see when you think about that higher power and what it means to you?
Even like whenever I start working with somebody, I make sure that they believe in something.
Yeah.
I don't have to label it.
Right.
But as long as they're connected to something, we can strengthen that and really see the blessings. Right. And so in Kabbalah, it's not a guy in the sky. It's this endless energy. And I think most people cannot actually comprehend just how infinite the infinite is.
100%.
There's layers and levels to this, and there is no limitation. The only limitation that we have as humans, if you will, is our own consciousness. And so that's why the definition of consciousness is who you really are, not who you think you are or who you've been taught you are. And who we really are, especially everybody listening, is unlimited. So because we're connected to that unlimited energy, right? So the idea is to strengthen that connection and be able to channel that endless energy into the world. And that's how we experience the miracles, the joy, the money, the prosperity, the fulfillment, everything in between. And so to the degree at which you strengthen your connection with Creator, to the less of a degree that there's chaos in your world.
Mm.
Right. So that's why whenever someone's going through it, to me, it's whatever they're dealing with is always the effect. The
right.
cause needs to be transformed at the soul level. Right. So even if someone thinks like they're in a tight season financially, that's not the cause. That's the effect of something that's lack at the soul level. And I even believe physical injuries too. So once we can transform that, then this whole thing evaporates.
Wow.
Right? So to channel that endless energy into the world is the idea.
Spoken like a true spiritual thought leader, Siegel. I'm not kidding. When's your next book coming out?
That's a good question. My teacher keeps asking me. I didn't have a desire to do another one just because
it's rough.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yep.
And I feel like at that season, I was good with what I had to say. And I wanted to expand the business in other ways. But he's like, that's not the consciousness. Now, I'm a totally different person than when I wrote the reinvention.
Yeah, you are.
So it's probably time to start even just planting seeds for that. So we'll see. I'm getting a little bit closer to even having the desire. I have the desire to have the desire.
That's great.
Okay, sisters, truth bomb time. Your brain and your nervous system don't give a flying F about your goals, your dreams, or your next launch strategy. The only thing that they are seeking is familiarity. That's why healing and growth and expansion often feels like resistance. That's because it's unfamiliar. Microflow is here to change that. Founded by Christy Nault, a root cause health expert, Microflow blends psilocybin, yep, that's magic mushrooms, lion's mane, cacao, rose, and blue lotus into the cleanest microdosing supplements on the market. 100% organic, Reiki-infused, and third-party lab-tested. Now, these formulas, which I have been using for 3 years and have completely changed my life, are designed to quiet what Christy calls the default mode network, aka your brain's autopilot, and ignites what's called neurogenesis, helping your brain to build new pathways wired for vitality, trust, receptivity, courage, abundance, confidence, and connection. Whether you're addressing anxiety, which I've struggled with, ADHD, burnout, which I've struggled a lot with, or just want to feel more clear and in flow in your everyday life, Microflow is a nervous system resourcing tool that is safe for everyday life. Yes, even while parenting, working, driving, or even podcasting. Wink, wink. I want you to start with the Exude and Surrender bundle, which harmonizes your system to sync with your cycle and the lunar flow of the moon. And for somatic healing and deeper journeys, the Theta Blend supports breathwork, intimacy, and your spiritual practice. Now, if you are ready to upgrade the entire technology of your cells in your body and rewire your subconscious mind, go to microflowhealing.com. Use code Jessica10 for $10 off of your order and receive access to Christy's free 2.5 hour magic mushroom microdosing masterclass. Yep, all my goodies just for you. That's microflowhealing.com and use Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order. Spiritual hustlers, I want to ask you guys something. What if the space you live in was just as aligned as the life you're building? I recently partnered with California Closets Nashville. And let me tell you, this wasn't just a home project. This was a spiritual experience. They didn't just help me organize my closet. They helped me see myself more clearly. Every drawer, every finish, every hidden feature I didn't even know I needed, it was designed for me and the life that I am building. Because when your space reflects your essence, your entire energy shifts. Now think about it. You start and end your day here in your closet. So what if your environment was designed to support not just your day, but your next level self, your rituals, your rhythm, your vision for the woman that you are becoming every day? That's what California Closets does. It's not just design, it's intention made visible. So if you're in Nashville, I can't recommend them enough. Their team, their craftsmanship, their customer care, it is next level. So here's your sign, babe. Dream bigger. Your space matters. Visit the link in the show notes to book your free consultation call and start your transformation today.
I'm working on my third book.
Really?
100%. Yeah, I got it. I got a book deal 2 weeks ago.
It's inspiring.
I love to write. Yeah. I'm a writer. It's like my soul's creative art.
Very gifted at that.
Thank you. And I was walking through my bedroom like a couple months after the light work was out. Yeah. Because I had no plans to write a third book anytime soon. And this is going to sound kind of like a crude metaphor, but I'll say it anyway. Felt like it was literally like not even thinking. I was like going to the bathroom and I felt like a sperm came through my crown chakra and impregnated my brain with an idea. And I was like, that's my third book.
You have to run with it.
You have to run with it. Yeah. And I think to your point, like you're seeding the seed.
Yeah.
You know, it has to come through you and you have to be so clear and embodied to write 70,000 words about something and then go fucking launch the damn thing.
You have to be available for it.
You have to be available for it. Yeah. I want to go back to what you were just saying about channeling that energy.
Yeah.
And you've given us some really powerful things to consider, like responding versus reaction, certainty. I'm super interested because it really feel like you walk the walk, like you are embodied in your own teachings and you've obviously channeled this into your business and your communities, which I want to get into your model and what you're up to. But like Craig, like what is your like high spiritual hygiene look like? Like walk me through like your day, your week. Like I know you're devoted to Shabbat every Friday. Like, do you have rituals and practices like meditations? Just give me the behind the scenes of how you channel this energy on a daily basis.
So nowadays it's non-negotiable.
Okay.
Right. So every day I'm home if I'm not traveling. Well, even if I'm traveling, I have a smaller one. I'll scan the Zohar, which is the book of Kabbalah. It's like before the Bible and all that stuff, and decoded the Bible.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff I can't even understand, but just scanning it forms a connection. It creates a stronger energy.
You do this every day.
Yeah, like a portal. I'm also always reading something Kabbalah related. I still love personal development in other areas, don't get me wrong. But for me, when I study that, it's a different level of development, right?
Like so, activating.
Yeah. To me, like there's Kabbalah and then everything else. And that's not to dismiss everyone's, whatever it is that they're working on, because I still love that stuff too. For me, that connection, unmatched. So I spend a couple hours every morning for me, just through my routine. That's getting ready, having my cup of coffee, getting ready for the day. I'll work out. But before that, I'm always connecting first thing. And one thing that I have to make sure of is, look, the ego is after us every single day. Like, this isn't something that you just kill off and then you're good.
Right.
It's a lifelong transformation. Sometimes I'll catch myself, like I'll wake up next to my wife whenever I'm thinking for a moment. And right away, I'm impregnated with like a terrible thought. I'm like, what the hell is that? That's how we're going to play it. Right away, I get the gloves on. So then I have to go to my tools, shrink that, overcome it, and reconnect. Sometimes it's harder than others, right? That's like when you're in flow, you're not really experiencing that. But other days, you have to overcome it. But the good news is I believe that energy, the God of the physical world, is a negative force with a positive purpose, because it allows us the opportunity to overcome it. If there's nothing to overcome, how can you achieve fulfillment?
Let's say that again. Let's just double click. It's a negative force with a positive intent.
A positive purpose.
Purpose.
Yeah.
That's a complete reframe on life itself.
Right. So think about like if you're playing hockey, right? So if there's no goalie in the net and you're shooting, is that like impressive? No, like you have to get it past him. So we have an opponent every single day. Most people would refer to it as the ego. It's your negative thoughts, whatever you want to call it. And it is relentless. Especially that when you start to ascend, the closer you get to the castle, the stronger it is. In fact, I would even say this. If the opponent's not after you, that's a problem. You should be flattered by your opponent, because that means that you have a lot of light to reveal.
Wow.
So now we just have to utilize our tools to make sure we overcome that. And that's when you experience the direct connection.
Sorry, I forgot I was interviewing you. Like, I'm just taking all of this in. Dude.
I forgot what we were even talking about.
I mean, me too. This happens every time we're together. Yeah. I like leave the building.
Yeah. But see, this is the best, because even like when I was coming here today, I used to subscribe to preparation breeds confidence. I used to always want to be prepared for everything I do. And still to this day, like you're delivering a big workshop or talk, of course, you want to have an outline of things that you want to hit. Must leave room for the light. That's the channeling. And oftentimes the best nugget that you can deliver will come through you 1 or 2 seconds before you need to deliver it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have that on the whiteboard, because that's beyond logic. That's the good stuff.
Do you want to know where I think you absolutely 100% feel the same way? Like there are certain things I do prepare for, but most of the time, no, like,
but it's not one or the other, right? It's prepare and leave
and
room.
Totally. Yeah. And the leaving of the room, that space, that frequency, if I'm in my heart, if I'm speaking from my heart, not my head, ego, heart, soul, right? The most powerful electromagnetic force field in the human body, you can't lose. Yeah. Like, so if you're feeling nervous, or if you're feeling like you're underprepared, like this is the essence of who you are.
Totally.
It's where your soul lives. It's literally the bridge, the heart chakra between the cosmos, the upper chakras, and the physical world. This is, we as human bodies get this body. And if we tap into love, because it's love and it's light, you'll never say the wrong thing.
Yeah. Especially like when you're navigating tough conversations in life, whether with a spouse or a partner or a boss, whatever. If you open your heart, and even if the conversation doesn't go 100% the way that you would have liked it, if you open up your heart, you can't lose.
Correct.
One way or the other.
Exactly. I want to go in a couple different directions, but before I do, I want to ask you about your business today, because it's evolved and they catch me up. Like, I want people to know how to get inside your world and how to get more of these codes. You have group programs, you do public speaking, you do one-to-ones. You just mentioned a partnership you just closed. Like, what is the Craig Siegel experience look like now?
Yeah. So right now we're speaking a lot, delivering a lot of workshops. They're flying us out to speak to Tony Robbins' group next week.
Fuck yeah.
I'm very pumped about that.
Is that your first time?
Well, I've done a lot with them virtually.
Cool.
But now they're flying me out to speak to their high-level mastermind.
Dang.
Yeah, I'm pumped about that. I love speaking, but also I love coaching.
I know you do.
Especially high-level people.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people that I'm calling in and attracting now on a one-on-one level is the best. It's so beautiful that they're at a different level. You know, to babysit, like it's a co-creation.
Totally.
Something mystical happens. But one-on-one, you have to be a little bit more selective with that. There's so many hours in the day.
Same.
So we have a group program where I coach and teach 1 to 1,000 every Wednesday. And then we just introduced something in the middle called level two, because people always ask me throughout the years, like, do you have anything in between your membership one-on-one? So you created this level two container. Very excited about it. Basically, it's an intimate cohort of 8 people. We have guys one and girls one separate. Mm-hmm. And people at a certain level that want that collective consciousness that are not only scaling their business, but scaling their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a lot of fun. It's a little bit more expensive, but also you get that intimate.
I touch.
Yeah. That, obviously the podcast, the book. I do a lot of consulting and advising, but I think the coaching and the speaking for CLS is what has me most lit right now.
Of course, you can feel that. And you coach women? Do you have coaches on your team? Like
yesterday, I was working here. We just launched a level two program for just the women. A lot of feminine energy in there.
Yes.
So it's just me and all the women, but it's beautiful.
Okay, this is one of my next questions for you. Okay? Because, you know, and I like I said at the beginning, like you're one of few men that I have had on the podcast. And that's just the nature of me and the, you know, my community and my network and conversations I want to have. But I am... safely talking to like a 99.9% community of women right now.
Yeah.
And
I love that.
Yeah, I know. And I love men. I love the masculine. Like I, even though I'm here for the feminine rising and reclamation and embodiment of our true essence as women, like that is my work on this planet.
Yeah.
I have a tattoo, you can't see it, but it's of the Vesca Pisces, which is the sacred union between masculine and feminine.
Cool.
And I just think the masculine, I don't think I know, is equally as sacred, equally as divine. And I, you know, I've really taken my community on this path. Like this podcast is called The Spiritual Hustler, because hustling in an old vibration is the toxic masculine. It is the patriarchal system that both men and women are affected by.
It's an old operating system.
It's a whole operating system, a program and a construct that women have had to, I think, especially learn to unlearn because of how innately not how we're designed, right? My point, I'm getting to my question. We have, I think in broad terms, come to have a complicated relationship with our masculine. Like women either are so burnt out and never want to feel that way again, or they're so in their feminine and have no confidence that they can embody their own internal masculine. I think we have to write our relationship with it. And so as I consider you to be a divine masculine being who is deeply connected to his feminine heart. And so my question would be, what would you say to women about the masculine essence that clearly is so effective in helping females? You've got a whole cohort around it, that they can start to look at in a new way.
Yeah. What comes to mind is 2 different lists.
Okay, right? Go.
So everybody has, or a lot of people have a to-do list, a lot of masculine energy. What do I have to do, right? The funnels, the systems, the tasks, the hustling. And then I encourage everybody to pause this and take a minute and create a to-be list. Who do you have to become? And for me, that's the feminine. That's how I would define it.
Yep.
So the to-do list and the to-be list, I would argue that the be list is a little bit more important, but that's not to discredit the to-do list, right? So what do I need to do? Marry that with who do I need to become to actually be able to hold that? So it's not always about just adding to your plate, but becoming the person that can actually hold the plate. And I think that dynamic between masculine and feminine, if done correctly, if married like that, just a beautiful concoction.
Were you always this like in touch with your feelings and sense? Like you strike me as somebody, right?
I don't think so.
Based on your background and what you were saying at the beginning, how did you hone that? Because I'm actually maybe speaking for a friend or maybe some women listening. Like, how do we help our men? What did you do? I mean, I'm sure it was probably some breakdowns to break through where you actually had to look at that part of yourself to open your heart. But like, how do we guide our men to be more heart-centered and conscious?
Open your heart. Get out of your ego, right? So I think a lot of men are afraid. Also, like, I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm not going to mention any names. In our level two, we have two men's cohorts going on right now, and people are breaking down and just supporting each other. It's the most beautiful magic, because I think they've been yearning for a space where it's pretty intimate amongst other leaders, where they can really just put the guard down,
right,
and be vulnerable. I think if you even just think about the definition of vulnerable, it's a lot like when your inner self comes very close to matching your outer self.
Yes.
So you can express that feeling judged or shame or guilt.
It's huge.
And so I think every man needs to exercise that.
How do women hold or create a better space? Like, you're in a marriage, you work with women, whether you're in a relationship, calling in a relationship. I'll just go first and actually speak for myself. I had to learn how to like put my masculine away, because I was demasculating my husband by being like CEO at home, and our relationship was completely off balance. But I think a lot of women are yearning to be held more by their men and to be met more by their men. And sometimes we want to point the finger and say it's his to fix. And you know, when you point one finger at yourself, you've got three pointing back at you.
Right.
So what would you say to the women listening to create more of that harmony within their relationships or in their lives?
Yeah. I just want to share it too. I know what you're saying between probably unconsciously bringing the CEO at home, because that caused a little bit of friction with my wife and I as well. You cannot be a coach at home.
No, you can't.
No matter what, you cannot tell the other person what to do. You could just be there. And if they're open, or if they ask you, what would you suggest? Then you can share. Because even if you know what's right, if you try to encourage your spouse, you're just going to push them away. So it's true. They're going to hear the same nugget you've been telling them for 100 days on a podcast tomorrow and tell you they had a breakthrough. And it's going to frustrate you. But they don't want to hear it from you.
Right.
So first and foremost, don't try to coach your spouse. It will never work. Amen. I learned that the hard way.
Same.
Secondly, a man has to know that if he opens his heart and is open to being vulnerable with his sacred partnership, his wife, you know, a relationship is probably the most important decision you'll ever make, that the wife is going to be there to support him, not judge him. And I think all these guys are scared that they're going to shrink or look smaller if they could be a little bit more vulnerable, because that's how it used to be back in the day. So a woman that's listening right now, just be there to be supportive of that and encourage it. That doesn't mean he's going to be a softie 7 days a week, but if and when he wants to share something, you can hold that space for him.
That resonates so much, because I feel sometimes with my husband, it's not that I don't care or like can't hold that kind of space, but I can be so busy and so like distracted and I don't even realize, I'm just being super vulnerable here.
Yeah.
That I make him feel second. And sometimes it's not even necessarily holding space when he's having a bad day or he's in a vulnerable moment or he has something really deep to share. But I think you can micro practice just simply being present and listening to your partner about the mundane. Like my husband's often like, I feel like you don't remember when I'm telling you like what time I'm leaving for Dallas next
week. Sounds very familiar.
Like, I already told you that, Jessica. I already told you that.
Oh, I get that a lot. 100%. You just had this conversation.
100%. It's because you don't listen. Yeah. And I think being present, no matter what it is.
Tough.
Yeah, it is tough. But it creates that, I think, safety.
Yeah.
To really show up and be seen in whatever way or day it is. That I'm speaking to myself and the women listening that are like ambitious and busy and have big dreams, and nothing is more important in life, as we know, than like our family and the love and our innermost circles and relationships.
It's a process. Everybody is going through a process. And look, when you have a big mission like you do, like I do, it's difficult to not be flirting with it and thinking about it all the time.
Correct.
But at home, if you really want to connect deeper with your spouse, you have to be present. So it's a difficult dance. So one thing I actually started doing recently is when my wife will come home from work, and I'm still wrapping up the day, there's still some, you know, cool things that I'm up to that I want to finish before I shut it down. It's very distracting with her and my puppy at home because they want my attention and I'm trying to do work. So now I'll leave for like, to be honest with you, I can get more done in an hour at a coffee shop, and I can probably 4 hours at night if they're both there. So I get it done. I feel good about it. Done. Now I can go home, put it away, and now I'm just present.
So
and it's
good.
Such a difference in energy. Like she can tell she wants to be cute and like tell me things and joke around. Tells me about something meaningless at work, but I'm there to hear it.
Yes.
So it's tough when you're still in that frequency or that energy of work. Mm. So what can you do to maybe create a little bit of separation at home?
So good. That's such a hack. That's great.
And to be honest with you, I just started doing that. Really? And it's made a big difference.
Really?
Because I work from home. So right. Oftentimes I am. And then she comes home and I'm still finishing something up, but she's right there. So I'm diluting my focus.
I feel that. I work from home. Yeah. And he comes home and I don't, it's hard to turn it off and separate and compartmentalize when work is home and home is work.
Yeah.
It's great.
So maybe it's if you're in this, if this is your office or your studio, when you leave this, okay, I'm done for that. No matter what, I don't care if an email comes in because I'm not even available to see it. Something you can try out.
Taking all the codes today from you, Craig. I'm serious. I needed this conversation on a personal level, many levels. Okay. We talked about obviously Kabbalah, your spiritual journey, your business journey, you crushed in the personal branding space. I feel like that's what we talked about last time we were here. Like you and I have evolved very similarly in parallel, by the way.
You were unrecognizable probably to our last episode.
A bajillion. I was a different, I've shape-shifted and so have you. Yeah. You look like a different person.
Thank
so
you.
Do I. Like total new avatar. I want to actually like ask you about one more thing, which is your marathon running. Cause you like think run 8.
Yeah. I actually have my 9th, God willing, in 2 weeks in Chicago.
No way. Yeah. That's a huge,
yeah.
That's a big one. I remember you were there last one of the years and we missed each other, but like, that's so baller. And that's, I know that is not just physical for you, but there is something about the commitment to that as a huge part of your life. Like it's a passion. I watch you on stories, like your running side of your life is more than running.
Totally.
Can you talk about how dedicating your time to something as I would call it aggressive as running 26 miles, like has shaped you as a person?
Yeah. I'm romantic about running. I found it, or it found me, at a time when I desperately needed something, begging for straws. Running came around. Helped me expand. And now that's like my other arena. And I think for me, it's running marathons because it's really the 3-month journey. It's like, shit, signed up for one. By the way, like, why did I do this? Because I'm an all in type of cat. So now for the next 3 months, there's a lot of dedication that goes into it.
I don't know.
On top of, my business is growing rapidly. Probably I'm understaffed right now, which is something that we're working on. Also, just took an 8-month coaching certification, IPIC, which is amazing, but it's a lot more work than I anticipated.
Wow.
Navigating being a newlywed, all these things going on at once that are all arguably full-time jobs. So it's a lot, but I keep telling the creator, I have room for more. And he keeps sending more blessings. And somehow we figure out to expand our capacity so we can keep receiving them. So it's definitely a lot. For me, the marathons, I think everybody should have something else aside from your main thing, your career, that allows you the opportunity to stretch and to overcome the opponent. So for me, that's running. I love what it represents, how I have to continuously expand, what I have to go through. It's a beautiful journey every single time. And so I always say I'm retired, I'm done. And then something happens and I sign up and it's like, let's go. It's just so beautiful for me. And also I do my best connecting on runs. So like on a long run, I'm getting downloads from creator. It's the most productive thing ever. I love it. It's tough as hell. Puts you through it.
Yeah.
And you're just a different person from the person that signs up, the person that goes through the process. And it's easy to say, well, how do you determine success? Is it just another PR? I always like to improve. I'm a competitive cat. I always want to do better. That's great. But success is really signing up and then dedicating yourself. It expands you. And then I take that energy and I translate it into other areas of life.
I'm so glad I asked that question.
Everybody should have something.
That was a beautiful.
It doesn't have to be a marathon.
What's your marathon?
Yeah.
So good. So good, Craig. I could talk to you all day long.
Same.
I missed you. So need to like my Craig hit. Like.
That's awesome.
Genius. Brilliant channeling. It just is, you know, clearly. Not just what you say, but who you are. And it's a gift to be in your presence. And
I feel the same. I love you.
I love you beyond words. So fucking awesome to have you in my studio. I have a few final quick fire questions. Super interesting.
Hot seat.
Yeah, yes. Let's go. They don't always turn out to be quick fire, but they're quick
fire. They never are.
They never are. Exactly. What is your favorite? You kind of already talked about a few, but like, what is your favorite spiritual book and what is your favorite business book? We have a book stack at Spiritual Hustler.
Yeah. Most powerful spiritual book is the Zohar, but it's not something I would recommend for somebody right now. I think for me, and it's funny because I was going to ask you for your address. I know it now and just send it to you, but it's called True Prosperity. It's a book on how to really achieve prosperity and what does prosperity really mean. So that's one that I often send to my friends that like are, they see me with the Kabbalah, they're interested. I often like to send them that, and that kind of sets them on the path. I'm sure there are others, but that's what just came to me right now. Beautiful. And then the business book, Think and Grow Rich is a classic. Whatever I'm reading at the time, I think that was a good one. Right now I'm reading 10X is easier than 2X.
I heard that's great.
Because I'm scaling and I need to change my perspective a little bit. Right. Sometimes we spend a lot of energy focusing on the 80%, which doesn't even really move the needle. Right. So basically the premise is to kind of get rid of that and double down on the 20% that actually does move the needle.
Yes.
That's interesting. I'm into it right now because that's the season I'm in.
Gorgeous. Do you, aside from like the divine itself, creator, God, the universe and infinite source intelligence we've been talking about, there's archetypes, angels, deities, spirit guides. Do you have one? Do you work with any particular energy or being?
Not yet. I'd love to learn more.
Let's talk. Okay. I got a bunch of them in my office. We can go through them.
Let's do it.
I work with them all the time. Beautiful. Do you believe in aliens? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think I would obviously assume that. And then my final question for you, what does it mean to you, Craig, to be a co-creator of the Earth Rising?
Bringing your silent partner into everything that you do. Injecting that consciousness into your business, to your relationships, to your work, to your marathons, everything. Silent partner for me is creator. That's the new way. That's where we're heading. You can see a shift in consciousness right now.
Sure.
At a time
when
probably the world needs it most. A lot of crazy stuff going on. But I can see more people becoming more available to this stuff. And it's a great sign.
Let's go. We are co-creating it in real time, I believe, because we're waking up. And because we are being led by people like you. I'm serious.
Well, even this conversation, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. This is a co-creation that hopefully is revealing a ton of light for everybody else.
There is no question that it has. I love you. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much.